Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. Central Works in Berkeley concludes its 2016 season with Into the Beautiful North, a new play by Karen Zacharias, which runs through November 13th at the historic Berkeley City Club on Durant Avenue in Berkeley. Into the Beautiful North is based on the novel by Pulitzer Prize finalist Luis Alberto Urrea and inspired by the classic Hollywood Western, The Magnificent Seven. I'm joined by three of the cast members who all play multiple roles in the production. Caleb Cabrera, who returns to Central Works for a second time this season, having appeared in the season opener, Totem and Taboo. He's a part of the ensemble in Shotgun Players' 25th anniversary season as well, and received a BA in SF from SFSU in theater arts. Welcome to you, Caleb.
Hi, thank you.
Sure. Also, Samantha Unin
Kubius.
Thank you for help with that. Samantha, she's a graduate of UC Berkeley, where she performed in many of the main stage productions for the theater department there. She currently works on the staff at the Berkeley Rep Theater and also manages to get on stage here for Central Works. Welcome to you, Samantha.
Thank you.
And veteran actor Rudy Guerrero, I've seen several times in productions at 42nd Street Moon. He's also been performing at ACT, Berkeley Rep, Connecticut Rep Theater, as well as Foothill Music Theater, as he won the Bay Area Theater Critics Circle Award for his principal performance as the leading player in Pippin. He also joins me in studio. Rudy, welcome to you.
Glad to be here.
Well, this play has been called a sort of Monty Python and the Holy Grail meet a taco joint and relocates to where there may soon be a wall. So who wants to take a stab at a nutshell synopsis of the play?
Sure. So as you mentioned, it very much follows the storyline of The Magnificent Seven. It's about three friends who are from a small town in Mexico, Tres Camarones. And in this case, the bandits are narcos, so drug dealers who come and threaten the safety of their town. And to protect their town, they decide to take a journey north, so across the border. And hilarity ensues after that, but it's very much about the journey to find these warriors who will defend their town.
Well, it's a very timely production, and Karen Zacharias is known for using some contemporary ideas to weave into her works. Did any of you know Karen's work before this play?
I wasn't actually familiar with Karen's work, no, but yeah.
Neither was I.
It was a great introduction, though.
So it's all new for you. That's great.
Yes, it is.
And presenting this as a premiere, and it's called a rolling premiere, a rolling world premiere. Someone explain what that actually means.
Sure, I will.
Sure.
This is Central Works' first rolling world premiere, and they are part of the National New Play Network. And what the rolling world premiere addresses is primarily two issues facing small theaters in America today. One is that small theaters are constantly in competition with big theaters to get their hands on new plays. Secondly, new plays by playwrights often have difficulty getting a second production because no theater wants to do the second production of a premiere. So what the Rolling World premiere does, in this case, Central Works is the second theater of four that are producing Into the Beautiful North within the span of a year. It first premiered at the Milagro Theater in Portland, Oregon, then here at Central Works in Berkeley. After this, it goes to San Diego Repertory Theater. And then after that, it goes to
Chicago.
A theater outside of Chicago.
16th Street.
Right.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah.
Teamwork. I like
that's how we work.
So I mentioned that this is rooted in reality. The reality is this town has been basically decimated of its male population for reasons that people do migrate north. Rudy, since we had you on, you play multiple characters in this. Why don't you explain what your Caleb. All right.
Yeah, actually, I just play one character.
All right.
Caleb plays multiple characters.
Caleb, so, multiple characters. Talk to us about that.
Well, I've got a little lucky because I only play four characters. There's some other actors that are playing six, seven, eight.
Oh, my gosh.
And so for me, I play the narco. I play Captain Jack Sparrow. I play a man on the street, and then I play Atomico. So you've got these, you know, it's a lot of fun getting to play a bunch of different characters, but what I really enjoy is that it's a fictional town, and that here are all, there's no men because they've all gone north to find work. And what this book and this play explores is not only what it means for these people to go north, but also what home means for them when they are north.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what it becomes all about, is how much they want to get back. And it's really quite heartwarming,
mm-hmm.
An opportunity to play all these different characters. And some of them only have one line. Some have just a few lines, and then some have even more than that. So it's a lot of quick changes.
And director Gary Graves must have helped you sort through that transitions.
Yeah. He gave us outlines for each one. We also came in with our own ideas, and we just, through working together and sort of bouncing off of each other, we just solidified all these just unique individuals.
Rudy, what's your character then?
Okay. Well,
single character.
I play the character Tacho. He is the taco master of the local restaurant in Tres Camarones called La Mano Caída, which in English means limp wrist. And he's openly gay and he's pretty much in your face about it, which is why he names his restaurant that. He's also sort of he's Nayeli, who's the protagonist in the show, played by Samantha.
Yeah.
He's her boss, but also her good friend and sort of older brother figure as well. And he joins her on her quest north to find these seven magnificent men to bring back and protect Tres Camarones.
So let's dwell on that for a little bit, based on, you know, inspired by the Magnificent Seven. So remind people of what that was all about.
Who's the Magnificent Seven expert here?
I think any of us.
I know that there are a ton of Yul Brynner references and Steve McQueen references throughout.
I mean, it's a classic Western based on Kurosawa's film, The Seven Samurai.
Right.
They're basically recruiting people to help retrieve,
the tagline
save
is,
their town. So
seven magnificent Mexican men. To come back and save the town.
I think the interesting thing about the play and where it sort of removes itself from the film is that I feel like those films were very much about men and the seven magnificent men. And I think throughout the course of the play, the characters that really shine throughout are the women. And not just because Nayeli is the principal role, but you have a lot of really great secondary characters like Tia Irma, Nayeli's aunt, who, you know, provides counsel to the girls as they're making their way up north. Vampy, the different indigenous women that they meet on the way up north. So I think Karen has done a really great job about sort of shifting the focus of the story to, like, you know, we are the people looking for the heroes, and then throughout the course of the play, we sort of realize we are the heroes, you know. So, and I like that.
Yeah, Samantha, tell us more about the roles that you play.
I'm just Nayeli.
Just Nayeli.
Yeah, just Nayeli, and it's something that I'm happy about. If you ever look outside of the theater in the hallway where everybody's doing their quick changes and transitions,
that's a show unto itself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think Samantha's got like 3 pages of a break. She's on stage for most of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty intense.
That's neat. So what is it like performing in this space at the Berkeley City Club? I didn't realize that they have a proper theater space there. Or is it kind of transitioned?
It's definitely a very small space.
I think it's very intimate.
It's very intimate, right. Better word, intimate. And I think I've actually really enjoyed it because I'm a big fan of cramming a ton of people into small performing spaces. We've had to work out a lot of traffic jams. But I think also it's been really great to work with the challenge of telling this story in a place that wasn't originally a theater, you know, and being creative with the space that we have, you know, going out into the audience, sitting on the steps, you know, using the doors for comic effects. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're tackling a pretty serious subject here, but there's obviously humor involved in it. And
right.
What are the scenes that you can give away that are particularly worth a belly laugh?
I think. Sorry, I don't want to monopolize.
No, please go ahead.
Because
I tend to focus on all the serious things that happen to Tacho.
I think it's,
let's talk about that too.
It's a story about crossing the border. So, of course, there are interactions with the different members of the border patrol, both the Mexican Border Patrol and the United States Border Patrol. And
this is crossing the border in a proper way. Is that true or not?
No, with the coyote.
Yeah, and that's okay. actually something that is brought up through the course of the play. Like, I think the you encounter different characters who have crossed both, or different characters who are both documented and undocumented and who have crossed in different ways, and sort of the conflicts that arise between those two group of people. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think on the more serious side, But I think also with characters like the Border Patrol officers, you get a sense of like, you know, who is it that they're willing to let pass through the border, you know, because of their own biases and whatnot. And it provides for some humor there, I think,
And you mentioned, Rudy, that there's more of a serious side that you, you encounter.
Yeah. My character, Tacho, goes through some pretty intense situations in, in trying to cross the border. I don't know how much I want to give away, but... interesting enough, what it does in this very intimate space that Central Works has, the audience really has no choice but to become involved in the story. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from a number of audience members tell me how uncomfortable they felt at certain times witnessing what's happening to my character because it's literally at their feet.
Right.
Interesting. So after crossing the border, I understand there are several destinations that the group encounter along the way or end up along the way.
Yeah, so first we arrive. Well, they meet Atomico in the Dumpe, which is the Tijuana dump. That's where he resides. He was part of the Mexican army, and now he ran away. And that's where he lives. And he sort of willed this little character of his own, to this hero, into life. And so he jumps onto their journey. They make it to San Diego. From San Diego, they have to go to Kankakee, Illinois, to find Nayeli's father. And it's actually the three of us that make the journey to Kankakee, which, I mean, what is it?
Well, tell them who Atomico is based on.
Atomico is based off of, well, it's ever since he's in the book, ever since he saw Yojimbo, his whole life just sort of changed. He starts a judo club in the barracks. He leaves the army. And yeah, he lives in the dump. He has a bamboo staff that he found and filled with glue and ball bearings to make it really lethal. He takes care of stray dogs, and he works in the dump, and so he is on board from the minute he meets them, and it becomes their protector.
It's a roadshow, you know, yeah, off on
like
the
a,
road.
Yeah, he's like a Ronin.
Kankakee. So what happens without, you know, giving away the ending? What sort of resolution is reached in the play?
I can call
this a spoiler alert if we want, but
interesting. It brings up it sort of embraces a study that was done by the Pew Research Center in 2015, where they did the study over the course between 2009 and 2014, and they found that 140,000 more Mexicans returned to Mexico from the United States rather than coming to the United States from Mexico. So it's sort of flipping what's out there in the media right now. It's sort of debunking that more people are actually going back home. And that's what these characters discover, actually, is where home is. And the people that they find willing to come back also sort of come to that realization.
Right. Well, this is always a dangerous question to ask actors. And feel free to pass on it if you want. After Into the Beautiful North, what's coming up for you? Anyone want to share their upcoming plans?
Well, I'll go first. Okay. I'm currently in rehearsals for the play Equus at Theater Rhinoceros. After that, I'm scheduled to do La Cage aux Folles at San Francisco Playhouse.
Nice.
And I'm currently in negotiations for another show that I can't mention right now.
Okay, well, fair enough. Plans, acting or otherwise, we can...
So after we save Sinaloa, I'm going to... Tres Camarones, going to go back to Shotgun and finish out the rep season with Grand Concourse and continuing understudying Hamlet. And I have this sneaking feeling that as soon as we get into rep, some of the actors from Hamlet are going to be calling on me to take their spot, so I might get some nights to go on as Laertes. Be a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Nice. And Samantha, you're going to be working at Berkeley Rep as well?
Yeah, exactly. It's actually something that I strive to do, I think, at least once a year. Apart from working at a very large theater company, I try to do work in the smaller theater companies because I think it improves my work with Berkeley Rep, I think, being involved in the community and being engaged with the community that I think we're servicing. So
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you for your work there. That's Samantha Cubillas, Caleb Cabrera also joining me, and Rudy Guerrero. Thanks for coming in today, guys. And I look forward to seeing Into the Beautiful North.
Thank you for having us.
Central Works closes its 2016 season with Into the Beautiful North by Karen Zacharias, based on the book by Luis Alberto Urrea. It's running through November 13th at the Berkeley City Club on Durant Avenue in Berkeley. For more information, go to Central Works' website, centralworks.org.